We're in Genesis chapter 9, verse 24. The title of my sermon tonight is The Sodomite Infiltration and Infestation. The Sodomite Infiltration and Infestation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great night. And Lord, for this great conference, I pray that you'd help me, fill me with your Holy Spirit, help me to preach boldly. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just help me to preach what you put on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So verse 24, if you look at Genesis 9, verse 24, it says, "And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him." But I'm going to start with a story, and I normally don't do this. I know old IFB likes to start with stories, but I'm going to do this just tonight, okay? So there's a story I shared on Facebook, and over a year ago, these two sodomite lesbians drove their whole family off of a cliff. I'm just going to read you an article really quickly and kind of set the tone here. So these people were actually from Woodland, Washington, which is about 20 minutes north of my house. So, I mean, right in my backyard, basically, is where these people were from. So the article goes as follows. The fatal car crash in which a lesbian couple, Jennifer and Sarah Hart, and their six children and dogs died. When the family SUV careened off a cliff into the Pacific Ocean in Mendocino County, California, is that the right pronunciation of that? I think it is, okay. Last year was ruled a murder-suicide Thursday, according to the Oregonian. Following a two-day coroner's inquest, it took 57 minutes for jurors to reach their verdict that the women planned to die by suicide and kill their family. Key evidence that convinced jurors and women had planned the crash came from the car's GPS and black box-style computer, which showed that Jennifer Hart drove straight toward the cliff. Other damning evidence came from Sarah Hart's phone, which revealed gruesome searches, including how long does it take to die from hyperthermia while drowning in a car? And is death by drowning relatively painless? The crash occurred in March 2018 after the mothers took their children and fled from their Woodland, Washington home, following a visit from Child Protective Services, responding to a report from neighbors that they were neglecting and abusing their foster kids. Among those immediately identified in the crash were the mothers of the family, Jennifer Hart and Sarah Margaret Hart, both 38, and their foster children, Martin, 19, Abigail, 14, and Jeremiah, 14. It was determined that that Jennifer had a blood alcohol level of 0.102, which means she was drunk, while her wife and three kids found at the time had been dosed in Benadryl. The body of 12-year-old Sierra Hart was found about a week after the crash, and remains determined to be those of Hannah Hart, 16, were identified by a DNA test this January. Only the body of the 15-year-old Devontae Hart, known to some because of the viral photo showing him crying in the arms of a Portland police officer during a protest, remains missing. Anybody seen that picture where he's hugging the police officer? Okay. One of the men in the jury, made up of eight women and two men, Tony Howard, told the Oregonian that it was not difficult to arrive at a unanimous conclusion. But of hearing the testimony of the inquest, he said, it's kind of hard on the whole group. The Harts left their home after their neighbors, Dana and Bruce DeKalb, called CPS. And Dana and Bruce DeKalb are actually family friends of ours. So it was pretty weird that I noticed that name, because they are family friends of ours. They said Devontae had repeatedly confided to them that he was being starved as a form of punishment. The DeKalb said the Harts refused to open the door for CPS and left the SUV the following morning. Following the crash, Jennifer and Sarah Hart's long histories of abuse became a focal point of the story. See, they already knew that they were abusers before all this happened. The Washington State Department of Health and Human Services confirmed to Portland TV station KGW and CPS had identified the Hart children as potential victims of alleged abuse or neglect. Sarah pleaded guilty in 2011 to a domestic assault charge in Minnesota for spanking one of her daughters over a tub, which left visible bruising on the child's stomach and back. The defendant admitted she let her anger get out of control, the detective in the case wrote, according to the station. Sarah was charged with misdemeanor domestic assault and malicious punishment, but because she pleaded guilty to the assault charge, the punishment charge was thrown out. She was sentenced to 90 days in jail, but was not forced to serve time as long as she obeyed the terms of her probation. And the article ends here. There's a lot more detail, but I don't really have time to get into all that. But these people were wicked, devils. And they just so happens to be that they're also sodomites. You know, kind of piggybacking on off of Pastor Jimenez's sermon, these people are out to hurt children. You know, and so what I found interesting, though, at the end of the article, it says this. It says, if you're a transgender, nonconforming person considering suicide, Trans Lifeline can be reached at blah, 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 800, whatever. So the person writing this article is not concerned about the children that they killed or the horrific things that these kids had to endure. They're worried about whether some trans freak commits suicide. Well, I'd love to be able to just work for this place for like a week and just let them know that, hey, it's okay. Go ahead and just kill yourself, please. Because these people were sick. You know, they don't care that some sod is about to kill all these kids. They don't care about the murder that was taking place. They care about whether these little trans Peter Pans, you know, commit suicide or not. Go ahead, kill yourself. Do the world a favor, right? So you might ask, you know, how could a horror story like this happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happens. It happens because there's an infiltration and infestation of the sodomites in the foster and adoption system. It hasn't been that long since they've even been able to adopt children. They used to have to do it incognito. And now it's just out and open. And the fact that all these homos are out of the closet has just made everything just in our face so much more. And they've infiltrated every single piece of society that we live in. Every single facet of government and schooling and all these other things. And even the foster and adoption system. You know, these two ladies were white ladies, okay? All black children. And they were using them with their Facebook and just making it look like they had this perfect little family. And some of their friends that they watch these people pretend, you know, people can pretend to be something else on Facebook. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they do. They said as soon as the pictures would stop, the kids would just go into this look like they're just totally miserable. That kid went over to the DeKalb's house several times. The daughter jumped out of the second story window to try to go over there and ask him for protection. They're just talking about abuse. They don't want to tell about the real horror story that was going on there, because you know, as the day is long, that they were molesting these children and hurting them. And these poor kids, the last thing they had to endure was being drugged and drove off of a cliff into the ocean and drowning to death. You know, they can't just kill themselves. They have to take all the innocent children that they hurt with them, because they probably don't want the true story to get out, right? They even killed the dogs. You know, they probably worshiped them and then killed them. Because in case you haven't noticed, there's a real uncanny weirdness when it comes to reprobates loving animals. You know, they worship the creature more than the creator. And so, yeah, they are animals, yeah. And so, you know, just a quick warning, the gratuitous use of the F word is going to be used throughout this sermon and probably the rest of the sermons that are to follow. And that word is faggot, fag, whichever one. So sorry, Pastor, I didn't mean to scare you there. But what does faggot mean? I just Googled it, right? A male homosexual is the number one answer, right? Number two is a bundle of sticks or twigs bound together as fuel. Amen. So both definitions are correct. And they fit each other. I want to define some other terms. What is infiltration? Infiltration is the action or entering or gaining access to an organization or place, especially in order to acquire secret information or cause damage. Why do people infiltrate? Because they want to cause damage. Why do infiltrators come into our churches? To cause damage, right? So that's what these homosexuals do too. They infiltrate to cause damage in all aspects of society and now in churches also. What is infestation? The infestation is the presence of an unusually large number of insects or animals in a place, typically so as to cause damage or disease. So bugs infest things, right? And you're in Florida, so you probably understand that there's a lot of bugs. There's a lot of people that, you know, are, you know, what do you call them? Exterminators here. I just Googled exterminators, and there was like 17 around the hotel I was staying at. It's like, it's a pretty bad problem here, apparently. But, you know, every year you got to spray around your house for spiders, and it's probably around here. Even. I've been here before, and I've seen spiders that I've never seen anywhere in my life. They're pretty crazy. And also wasps that are like this long. I was like, what are we in Jurassic Park here? What's going on? But anyway, there's lots of ants and spiders and bees and wasps and things like that that you need to spray and exterminators need to come out for. And also you have other kinds of animals here that people, you know, alligators that go into your pools and things like that. I mean, you got the turtle man has to come over and get these alligators out of your yard or whatever. But animals infest too. Wolves, if the population gets too big, you know, you have to go and kill them off. Well, they've killed them off, and now they're trying to bring them back again. Coyotes are the same way. You know, they're dogs that they just, you know, they pick on the weak. Deer, even, they get out of control. And hogs and things like that, these animals overpopulate the land. And we need hunters to go and thin the herd. Where's my Texas crowd? Can I get an amen from here? Okay. All right. So they infiltrate the defenses, though. You know, because humans, we build homes and things like that so that these critters can't get in there. And, you know, we try to spray around our houses so that these, you know, scorpions can't get in. I don't know if there's a spray that keeps scorpions away or not. But, you know, Florida has a lot of pest removal places. And they have invasive species that are dangerous. They have, you know, all these snake. What is it, the pythons are starting to take over here too, right? They're getting real big and they have to go capture them, and they're not really from here. But I'll tell you what, there's something more dangerous than the alligator here. There's something more dangerous than a python or a snapping turtle or a cottonmouth. The sodomites are far more dangerous than any of these kind of invasive species. You say, well, Pastor Thompson, you said that, you know, it's bugs and animals. Well, the Bible calls them animals. The Bible calls them beasts. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17 says, there shall no whore of the daughters of Israel or sodomite of the sons of Israel. There shall be no whore, or I'm not going to preach that sermon, Pastor. I believe whores can be saved. Amen. All right. So Deuteronomy 23, verse 18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog. So the Bible uses the name sodomite and the word dog interchangeably in these passages. So the Bible calls them dogs. In 2 Peter 2:12, it says, but these is natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And what's the context? It's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, how it was overthrown. And it says, they speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So it's okay to call them dogs. It's okay to call them animals, because that's what God calls them, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So what is a brute? A brute is a savagely violent person or animal. A beast is an animal, especially a large or dangerous four-footed one. So we do have a brute beast problem. Yeah. And it's not just in Florida. It's everywhere. It's everywhere you go. And it's because they've been allowed to infiltrate society. They've come out of the closet, and now it's a total infestation. And there's no exterminator to get rid of them. That's the problem. And so from our text tonight, I want to show you some four ways that the sodomites operate, infiltrate, infest, and curse our society. So turn back with me, or if you haven't turned anywhere, but Genesis chapter 9, look at verse 18. Number one tonight, the sodomites creep in unexpectedly. They creep in unexpectedly. Look at verse 18. It says, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. So the names of his sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, sodomites will creep in and they'll pretend like they're one of you. And Ham, I believe, was a sodomite. Yeah. And Ham, he kind of crept into the ark, didn't he? He said, well, I'll come along for the ride. Now, I don't know if Ham was a sodomite before he got on that boat or afterwards, but the Bible is very clear that he did something weird to his dad.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So Noah was a saved man, and he was reluctant. He was the remnant of the saved people, right? So when the flood happened, Noah was saved. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. His son Shem was probably saved. But Ham had sugar britches, I think. Ham had looked at the old world that he lived in and saw these perverted freaks that were killed in a flood. Do you think that the Bible says that they were the world was overflowed with the flood and killed all these people. Do you think there was no sodomites there? There's always been sodomites. Yeah. There's always been a remnant of the sodomites. Just like there's a remnant of God's people, there's also a remnant of sodomites. And I would say that the saved population in general is probably about 1% to 2%. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but they say that the sodomites is 1% to 2% also. So that you got all these reprobates, 2%, saved people about 1% to 2%. I don't know. I could be wrong about that. But, you know, the thing is that Satan always tries to infiltrate and have his people in place too. And in this case of Ham sneaking in and creeping in to God with God's people, you know, we see the story of what happens here. But the sodomites will creep in. Yeah. And they creep in unexpectedly. They try to get into churches. Why do they try to get into churches? Because churches are so forgiving. Yeah. They'll just, he just has a little problem looking at dudes. That's more than a little problem. That's a big problem. You need to get that problem out of your church. Yeah. Why did God destroy the earth with a flood? Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I believe Ham was a remnant from that world that perished, a creeper. You know, sugar bridges, like, you know, he was a weirdo. But, you know, you say, Pastor Thompson, well, he had a wife. Yeah, I know. A lot of them have wives, and they operate incognito that way just to fool people.
Yep.
Josiah had a sodomite problem when he became king. See, his 11th great-grandpa, Asa, he destroyed the sodomites out of the land. But there was a remnant. He didn't kill them all because there was still more left, right? 11 generations later, in 1 Kings 22, verse 46 says, "And the remnant of the sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land." Also been a remnant of these weirdos, right? We go faith to faith to every generation, and they go, you know, whatever the weird thing is that they do to make other homos, because they can't reproduce. So they have to molest them, they have to rape people, they have to hurt people. And also, like Pastor Menace said, I don't think all sodomites become sodomites because someone molested them. I think that they could become that way just because they're given over to a reprobate mind.
Right.
But I think that there are a lot of people that get molested that do become homosexual. It's just a fact. And, you know, that's the way they do it. Nowadays, they do it from the media.
Yep.
You know, they're bombarding people with all these images, and everybody's got a screen in front of their face today. So they're using the media also to push their agenda, obviously, and they want to infiltrate. They want to spread their disease even further than they're doing now. So I believe that there's a remnant. There's a remnant of sodomites, and Josiah, it says the remnant he took out of the land. But obviously, Jerusalem wasn't the only place in the world at that time, okay? So they're like foxes that are trying to get into the hen house. They're like, ants that try to find a crack into your home and get on your countertops, ladies. You know how those ants are, right? But today, they creep into the highest offices of government, businesses, workplaces, public schools, the police force, and firefighters. Amen, Brother Scott. And the military. Now, it used to be don't ask, don't tell. First, it used to be if you are, you're dead. Then it became don't ask, don't tell. And now it's just like, come on in, queers. Let's go. And so we're seeing this happen. And so they're interwoven into every aspect of society. You know, I didn't mention this, but in a job interview anymore now, you have to answer their little queer questions. Well, you know, what if someone was LGBT and, you know, you didn't agree with their... They're trying to weed people out and make sure that they're fag-friendly before they'll hire you.
Right. Yeah.
So that's called... I forgot what the word is.
Inclusiveness.
Inclusiveness, yeah. And they hire from lists that way also.
America. We gotta worry about our things being taken away from us. We can't have free speech. We have to hide, you know, our YouTube sometimes, or some of our worst sermons, or best sermons, well, I think.
Yeah.
But,
that's right.
But you gotta hide it because what the YouTube mafia is gonna come in and take your channel away.
Yeah.
What happened to free speech?
Right.
So they're a bunch of hypocrites. But, you know, they've woven their way in so deep. I mean, whose PayPal got shut down, pastors? Did all of you guys' PayPal get? Yeah. We just happened. Yeah, the pastors a long time ago. Right. Oh, we just happened to be looking. Cain. Why would Ham go and tell his brethren without? What did he want? Did he want them to see the nakedness of their father and lust after him like he did? That's what I think. Look at verse 23. It says, "And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it both upon both their shoulders and went back and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness." So, they said, you know what, we're not falling for that. You know, and obviously normal people aren't going to look at a naked man, especially their dad,
right,
and want to do weird things.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but that's the perverted mind that he had.
Right.
Because why would you go in and say, "Hey, guys, dad's naked, come in and take a look at him."
Right.
That's a weird thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you accidentally see someone naked in your family, you're like, ah! You know, you don't want that. You know? That's a weird deal. This is an uncomfortable situation. But Ham's plan, I think, was to have his brother see the dad's nakedness and have some kind of faggoty effect on him, like he was a fag, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we see today all these images of filth and magazines and pictures and kissing scenes and movies of homosexuals and drag queen story hour.
Yeah.
That's wicked as hell.
That's right.
You're perverting the minds of your children. And some of these people aren't even homos that are taking them to them. They're just they're just sympathizers.
Yeah. Right.
And these people are dressed like the biggest freak shows you've ever seen in your life. But why do they do it? Because they want to have some kind of effect on your children that they can carry in to their own life. Look, we don't want these people. We don't want our kids seeing garbage like that. These gay pride parades where they're walking around and they're all half naked or naked. And then people take their kids to it.
Right.
So they have to see that filth.
Disgusting.
That is, it burns an image in their mind that kid will never forget.
Yeah.
You know, and on one of the drag queen story hour things that I happen to see, which I wish I could unsee, you can't unsee it though.
Right.
One of the things that I saw was they were going, "Who wants to be a drag queen?" And all the kids in the crowd were going, "I do." That's a recruitment.
Yeah.
And that's how they create new sodomites, is they recruit them.
Yeah.
And they try to teach them, "Oh, this is good." No, it's not good.
Right.
No, it's not good. It's something that's going to defile your children's minds.
Right.
And, you know, our children have to see enough in society without having to see those freak shows, right?
Right.
Yes.
So they recruit through cunning, craftiness, and also molestation and rape. In Leviticus 18:7, verse 7 through 11, it says, "The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness." So the Bible uses this term, but it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that, because this term is just, God's not going to tell you the gory details, right? He doesn't want you to have to, you know, he doesn't want our minds defiled. He just, this is a way of letting you know that someone's trying to do something weird here. Don't uncover the nakedness of thy father. That's like in a weird, perverted way.
Yeah.
Genesis 19, if you turn over there with me real quick, I'll have you turn somewhere, actually. Genesis 19, verse 4. The Bible says in Genesis 19, verse 4, it says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." Well, how do you think that happened? Because they recruited all these people, because they weren't, you know, and some of them were probably married. But all the old people, all the young people, all the people from every quarter, the whole city came to surround Lot's house. And what were they trying to do? They were trying to molest these people. But how? My point is how did they get that way? Well, they were recruited, right. You know. Because how are all the old people and the young people, everybody from every quarter, they were recruited somehow, either through molestation or they just were a total reprobate society. But this is all the people, right? So how did all these people get turned into homos? Recruitment. They can't reproduce,
so
they have to be recruited into it. And the main agent, again, is I believe it is, you know, being given over to a reprobate mind. But that can happen through various different ways. If someone's molested their whole life, you know, they're probably going to think, well, where was God when I needed him the most? And that's probably where that reprobate mind comes from when it comes to these people that are molested. And it just awakens something. Being molested and being, you know, raped is something that awakens something in you that shouldn't be ever awoken, especially in a little child.
Yeah,
you know?
Amen. Right.
And so we should we should be protecting our children.
Right.
We should be protecting them from images.
Right.
We should be protecting them from even magazine covers.
Right.
I mean, they're just
filthy.
That's
right.
So, you know, and their biggest deal again is the media. That's the biggest engine they're using to corrupt people. So, number one, sodomites creep in unexpectedly. Number two, sodomites create by recruiting. Number three, sodomites are calculating predators that take advantage of the drunken and the weak. So look at verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 24 in Genesis chapter 9. So sodomites are calculating predators that take advantage of the drunken and the weak. And those are the people they go after. They go, why do they go after the children? Why do those lesbians in the beginning of this sermon, why did they choose little children? Because they're weaker than them.
Yeah.
Because they can dominate them. They can beat them. They can starve them. They can, you know, molest them and lock them up in cages or whatever they do. But that's just one story. There's hundreds and hundreds of stories. There's stories every day that you can see about these weirdos. And they are predators. You know, they're like the wolves. The wolves, you know, they have that pack mentality, and they go and pick on the weakest thing that they can. Same thing with coyotes and all these other different kinds of predators. These sodomites are calculated.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for a chance to spring into action. They'll act all nice. They're the ones that are super playful with, you know, and just well liked. And people think, oh, that he could never be that person. And it is that person.
Yeah, right.
And they're the worst person. Look at verse 24. It says, "And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had what done unto him."
Yeah.
Okay, it says what he done unto him. Now, just accidentally seeing your dad naked, I don't think is a reason to curse a whole generation of a whole line of people,
right?
Don't you think that would be a little extreme?
Yeah.
You know, hey, he saw me naked. Curse be Canaan. His whole line is cursed. I don't think that's what it says. What if he had done unto him? He did something to him. And the Bible doesn't say what he did, but, you know, and obviously, you know, I don't even want to imagine what he did. But it wasn't just seeing him naked that made him curse that whole line. I don't believe that. But that's what these freaks do. They take advantage of people when Noah was drunk. You know, obviously Noah had sinned by being drunk. And he, you know, he apparently had saw so much that maybe he just, I don't know why he would do that, but he did. He ended up passed out drunk, and that's when predators will come at you, and try to do weird stuff. You should stay away from alcohol.
Amen.
Stay away from it. It's a deadly poison.
That's right.
The Bible says. The Bible says that you shouldn't even look at it.
Yep.
So if you're not even supposed to look at it, why would you drink it? I mean, you're like, closing your eyes trying to drink it? Look, it's the Bible is against the consumption of alcohol. And you know, here's a perfect example of why you should stay away from it. Because you lose your senses. And Noah was passed out drunk. And then his own son did some weird stuff to him. I mean, I'm sure he didn't think his own son would do something weird like that. But that's where how they're predators. He never would think. You know, I never thought it would have been him. Noah didn't think it would be his own son, did he? But it was. Habakkuk 2.15, turn to Habakkuk 2.15. Habakkuk 2.15. The Bible says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Now look at what it's saying here. His, him. You know, this is talking about a man giving his neighbor a drink to another man, right? Man to man, so that he can look on his nakedness. Well, what do you think? He just wants to look at him naked? No, he wants to do weird things to him. This is a lot of the things that the predator will do, the molesting, rapist predator will do, is they'll get them intoxicated with some kind of drug or some kind of alcohol, and so they could take advantage of them. So they could do the weird, sick things that they want to do to them. And so kids, look, don't ever drink alcohol.
Yeah, right.
You know, you don't have to try it to know it's bad.
Right.
You don't have, you know, if you don't want to mess with drugs and alcohol, because you know what it's going to do? It's going to ruin your life. You see those bums that you see on the street all the time?
Yeah.
Those bums that don't work? Those bums that have their hand out at every place you go to do business with? You know how they got there? Drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, right.
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 And that's why half of them were possessed by demons.
Right.
So Jeffrey Dahmer, he drugged his victims. He got them drunk in order to abuse them and to kill them. He was a psychopath reprobate. He was a serial killer, and he was also a fag.
Yeah, that's right.
He wasn't capturing girls. He was capturing men. And then doing really sick and weird things to them that I'm not going to mention. But look, sodomites are just looking for their next fix. They have an insatiable lust and a desire to hurt other people.
Yeah,
that's what Pastor Jimenez was just preaching, and it came straight out of the Bible.
Yep.
That wasn't Pastor Jimenez's opinion. They are unmerciful. They are implacable.
Yep.
And they want to hurt people.
Yeah.
The Bible says it, right? In Romans chapter 1. Genesis 19:4, I'm going to read that for you again. If you have a chance to get over there, go ahead. Genesis 19:4 says, that before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. So they compassed the house round. Why? Because there's safety in numbers. And that's why. And they didn't realize that there were angels that could kill them at any moment, if they wanted to. So they're just looking at them like, let's know these men. Look at verse 5, it says, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And what is, you know, this is another example where the Bible's not going to give you the gory details, but what they're talking about is that they want to know them in an intimate way that a man and a wife, you know, a husband and wife would have an intimacy, right? So, but these are men talking to other men. They want to know these men in a way that they shouldn't. Men with men working out, which is unseemly.
Right. That's right.
That's what they wanted to do. And so, but this is their modus operandi. They're predators, and so they want to drug people, and they want to creep in and hang around and get people's trust so that they can hurt them.
Yeah.
So they can molest them. And so that they can destroy them. Because I'll tell you what, when someone does something like that to somebody, it destroys part of their soul. I'm not saying their soul can't be saved. I'm just saying it hurts their soul in a way that nobody can realize. And it's weak, it's sick, and it's disgusting, and it's, you know, it's got to be dealt with. The sodomites creep in. Number one, the sodomites create by recruiting. Number three, sodomites are calculating predators that take advantage of the drunken and weak. Number four, The Sodomites bring the curse of God upon others. The Sodomites bring the curse of God upon others. And obviously, we know, we're all here, right? We know what these Sodomites do and that they are cursed people. Look at Genesis 9, verse 25. It says, "And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." So, Canaan was cursed because of what Ham did, right? Ham is the one that did. Did Canaan do it? No, Canaan was cursed because of what Ham did. Yeah. But Canaan turned out to be a whole society just like their daddy, just like great-granddaddy Hambone. Right? Deuteronomy 27, verse 16 says, "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say what?"
Amen.
Amen. Right? So, the and when you talk about setting light by a your father or mother, it's in the same scope as talking about their nakedness, right? Looking upon your father's nakedness. And the Bible says that you're cursed for that.
Yeah.
So this whole people, the Canaanites, were cursed by God, cursed by Noah, and they were cursed by Noah first, and God, that curse went with them. Leviticus 20:13, of course we know, and Pastor already read that. But it says, "If a man lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." So, is it a curse to be killed? It is. God's cursing you. You're dead in this world, and you're dead in the next to come. And these people that do this, they're worthy of death. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And turn to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. But not only were the Canaanites cursed, they cursed other people. They cursed other people. Look at 1 Kings 14:24. It says, "And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." So the children of Israel were doing the same things. These Sodomites were not just the Canaanites. They were the children of Israel. Becoming Sodomites also because, why? Because they wouldn't get rid of the Canaanites that God told them to get out of the land, right? The Canaanites were a fag society which influenced the children of Israel. Yep. That's why God said, get them out of here.
Right. Amen.
Allowing them to be in society brings the curse of God upon your life. And that's why when they're allowed to infest society like they have, save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, the Amorites, and what? The Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and that as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. So God told him, don't even leave one person breathing. Man, woman, child, boy, and girl. They were such a sick society that God said, get rid of all of them.
Yeah,
we need
right.
to start over. And by starting over, this is your land to inherit now because they screwed up.
Right.
And because why? Because the curse of God was upon them from Noah. He cursed Canaan, right? And so their whole land became cursed. And so the curse of God comes when you don't do what God says. He says, put them to death. Their blood should be upon them. But here's the thing, that people won't do what God says. And that's why society gets messed up. If people just listen to what God says, this world would be a better place.
Amen.
Look, they haven't been in the closet out of the closet that long.
No.
I'm an old guy. I'm one of the older pastors here, but I think I'm the oldest one. But anyway, it wasn't that long ago when we were still calling them fags. We were playing Smear the Queer.
Yeah.
We were called that.
Yeah.
We'd go after the weakest one and, game tackle them. But it wasn't that long ago. We thought it was weird. We called each other fags on the playground all the time.
Right.
And that was just like a way to just, you know, to chum around with your buddy. Women, you don't understand why guys do the way, things the way we do. We hack on each other and mess around and play around and tease each other. And women don't like that, but men do. It just lets you know that they like you, kind of, you know, I don't know, it's weird. But it says in verse 18 that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God.
Yeah.
So why were they not supposed to be left alive? Because God didn't want them teaching the children of Israel to do after their abominations.
Yeah, right.
And what were their abominations? Well, they worshipped other gods, which aren't real. So they're worshiping devils, and they were a fag society. Started by Ham, right?
Yeah.
So the Bible says, you know, that we should get rid of them. We need to stop the infestation from happening. But look, we're too far gone now.
Yeah.
All we can do is Show me the community churches preaching about the sodomites. Show me the Presbyterian churches preaching about the sodomites. Show me the Episcopalian churches preaching about the sodomites. They're not in existence. Because they got sodomites in their pulpits.
Yeah, right.
Look, I'll tell you what, where I'm from, in Portland, Oregon, there's fag flags hanging from every church in that city. Or some kind of fag banner. That's why we're in Vancouver. Anyway, I knew that they don't like, you know, fags don't like cross the water for some reason. But anyway, if we had our church in Portland, we'd be protesting. Our church would be burnt down by now. I guarantee you. So they're too busy worried about Donald Trump, who's actually on their side. They just don't realize it. But you know what we need today? We need an ASA to stand up.
Amen.
We need an ASA. But you know what? I'm sorry to tell you that we're probably not going to get that. We're not going to get that. 1 Kings 15:12 says, "And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made." We need a King Josiah also. King Josiah, he was just as zealous as his 11th great-grandpa. I think I got the 11th right. Anyway, it was several generations removed, but in 2 Kings 23, verse 7, it says that he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. We need a Josiah. We need an Asa to stand up. But you know who we got? We got Donald J. Trump instead. You know, and people are like arguing about, you know, well, I can't believe he's against the Sodomites because he said we can't hang the flags on the flag poles because, you know, at the embassies. But you know what he did do? He wrote this tweet. It says, "As we celebrate LGBT Pride Month and recognize the outstanding contributions of LGBT people." What contributions are those against?
AIDS,
disease. They haven't built any cities. They haven't done anything great. All they do is just infiltrate and corrupt society and make it sick.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, sorry, I'll keep reading. "Let us also stand in solidarity with the many LGBT people who live in dozens of countries worldwide that punish, imprison, or even execute Trump is not your savior. He's not going to save America. He's not going to make it great again.
That's right.
He's definitely not going to make it straight again, is he?
No, not.
And he's just as wicked as Obama ever was.
Yeah,
he's just indifferent. You know, it's the... Watch Pastor Anderson's sermon on the left-right paradigm, okay? But the homos have won. They've won.
Yep.
They have. And you're like, whoa, what are you talking about, Pastor Thompson? Have they won? They've taken over.
Yeah.
They've taken over everything. So, you know who the Asa is that's going to come back? It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. They have the government. They have the military. They have the law enforcement. They have the public schools. They have the churches.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul Chapel.
Yeah.
We're running the Baptist churches.
Yeah.
That's right.
Your faggot agenda.
Yep.
And again, we are the last stand against these freak show faggots.
That's right.
We are. Yep. Show me the churches preaching it. Please. There might be some that's out in the backwoods hollering. Didn't get saved.
That's right.
You know why? Because they're not savable.
That's right.
Yep.
What's the point of a conference like this? It's to educate and teach God's commandments to the saved and also to the unsaved.
Amen.
Hey, the unsaved think it's weird too, don't they?
Yep.
That's right.
And Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen.
Amen.
So we're supposed to teach and observe God's commandments. We're supposed to teach people.
That's right.
We don't just preach salvation every week. Who's been to churches like that?
Yeah.
Everybody in the room?
Yeah.
Every week. Hey, you know if you're invited to your heaven? Come up to the old-fashioned altar, right? We're over that. We go out and preach the gospel, but look, we still got to thunder the commandments from the pulpit and let people know what God is okay with and what he's not okay with. What is his commandments? What's his clear teachings? Are we preaching anything weird in here?
No.
Is there some kind of weird doctrine? I mean, everything is coming straight out of the Bible.
Amen.
So how is it that you're going to say that we're not teaching the truth? All they do is say, well, you know, the Bible says not to judge.
Yeah.
Hate the sin, love the sinner, right? That's their pat answer for everything. But, you know, another reason for this conference is to warn mankind against the filth of these perverts. Look, we don't want them creeping in. and destroying families. If we can just turn some away from this wickedness, then we're doing our job.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. In Ezekiel 33, verse 6, it says, "But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." So, you know, a lot of people apply this to soul winning, and that's great, but it's also warning people about God's commandments.
Right.
Okay? And if we don't give the whole counsel of God, if we don't preach the entire counsel of God, if we just said, hey, you know what? We've preached about the halls enough. Our people have heard it enough. We do hear it a lot, don't we? You know why we hear it a lot? Because nobody else is preaching it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it needs to be preached. Amen. You can't just say, hey, I'm gonna go on a 10-year hiatus of preaching the reprobate doctrine. My people already know. That's a mistake. We can't make that mistake. That's what the last generation did.
Right.
We can't do that.
That's right. Amen.
Also for safety reasons.
Right.
Proverbs 21, verse 31 says, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle."
Yep.
But safety is of the Lord.
Yes.
Now safety is of the Lord. Well, you can prepare the horse, you can get all your tanks ready, you can get whatever. You can have a full hillbilly armament in your house, and that won't do you any good unless God's protecting you. I understand that. But the horse is still prepared against the day of battle. We still have to be prepared as Christians. We still have to know and teach these doctrines, because if people don't know, then they're going to be the next ones on the sodomite agenda. How can we steer this generation in the right way? Well, we got to teach the commandments. We got to be, you know, preach it so people can know that they can be safe. Hey, keep those queers away from my family because I don't like them. I don't care. You know, I've heard it said, I don't care if it's your Siamese twin. You got to cut ties with those fags. And there's these two guys that played in the NBA, and one of them was a fag and one of them wasn't. How does that work for your born that way after all this stuff? We're trying to prepare horses. There's a battle that's going on, and we need to be prepared. We need to prepare the next generation. So we can't quit preaching this. We have to keep preaching it. Look, the military is filled with a bunch of fags.
Right, yeah.
So that means that they're partially reprobate, right?
Right.
And so, you know, even in I think it was in Pastor Hernandez's documentary, it talked about, maybe it was just that Dr. O'Hare, he said that when they first started studying the psychopaths, that the people that were former military people were the ones that they found there was more psychopaths that came out of the military, because what are they doing? They're going over and shooting people and killing people and raping people. Not everybody. I'm just saying that there are people like that, and a person that's a reprobate will be like, woohoo, this is a party. But imagine a whole army and every single one of them is a reprobate. Every single one of them. Because look, the beast, when he goes to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a giant army with him. And all of those are reprobates. How do I know that? Well, because if you don't take the mark of the beast, then you're killed. Right? So every single person in the beast army is going to be a reprobate.
Right.
Yeah. There's not going to be any, you know, you can't just like say, no, I'm a conscientious objector. I'm not going to have the mark of the beast. You can't do that. Look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 11, it says, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." This is the Lord Jesus Christ returning and destroying the beast and his armies. Look at verse 16. It says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God. Army would do to the people that aren't reprobates. You know, they're going to be a pretty wicked, nasty bunch. So look what it says. It says the beast was taken. It's just like, no big deal. Because nobody is going to be able to face Jesus and do anything to him. Not one single thing. And look, we're not even going to have to lift a finger because Christ is going to do it all for us.
Amen.
It says the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them and had received the mark of the beast and then worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So anybody left over from the initial onslaught, the remnant is killed also.
Yep.
So remember I told you that there's a remnant of Sodomites? Look, there's a coming a day when there is going to be no such thing as Sodomites. There's going to be no queers in heaven. Right? Remember, I heard that song this morning. I was in the hotel. I was like, queers in heaven. That's what I put the words to anyway. So, look, we win in the end. Christ is going to come back and give us the victory. And we reign in the millennium. We're the new bosses. We're the new sheriffs. We're the new military.
Amen.
All right, we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ forever.
Amen.
So as negative as these sermons are going to be, look, there's some positive here too.
Yeah.
Last verse I'll have you turn to is Psalm chapter 58, verse 10. It's going to be raining men right off the buildings with rocks coming behind them. In Hawaii, where I'm going to be raining on students. Psalm 58, verse 10 says, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Now people hear this verse and they're like, sounds so gross. Washing your feet in the blood of the wicked. But I'll tell you this, we're going to have new glorified bodies at that time.
Right.
So AIDS will not cling to us. No STDs will cling to us. There's no, you know, HIV or anything like that. So when we wash our blood wash our feet with the blood of the wicked, it's an AIDS-free, you know, world at that point for us.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But it says, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth.
Amen.
And he's going to come back, and he's going to make things better. And look, we can deliver all eternity without a single fag.
Yeah.
You know, after the millennium, for sure, no fags. We'll still be whores. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Anyway. So hopefully, you learned something. And just pray to the Lord that this conference would be, you know, something that moves on. Maybe we'll do it every couple of years. I don't know if we can handle it every year, but thanks for coming, everybody that came from so far away, and we really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, and let's have our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're going to come back and make things the way they should be, Lord. And Lord, even though things in life seem dim when it comes to these reprobates and Sodomites, Lord, we know that you're going to fix it. And I just pray, Lord, that we have wisdom to continue to preach this sermon from the housetops, preach sermons like this, and never go back from it, Lord, that we would never compromise in these churches when it comes to this doctrine. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Boy, some good preaching. Amen. Some good preaching. Amen. Make America safe or straight, sane and safe, and then followed by the infiltration and infestation. And you know, we may not make America straight again. You know, Donald Trump's not the deliverer. We're waiting for King Asa. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. But what we can do is make our home safe again.
That's right.
And get them out of the home. And we can make our church safe again. Amen. Get them out of the church. They're not welcome here. And they're not welcome in our ghetto. And let's just stand up for what we believe and hunker down. And let's all stand. We'll just listen to a song. And then I will ask that we kind of let our speakers kind of get out of here pretty quickly. They will all be here tomorrow at 10 o'clock is when we start. They'll be here before to get some good fellowship time in. But they've traveled long and far, and their hotel is calling them. Their bed is calling them. I know they're weary.
Right.
So if you'll just kind of respect that and try to catch them in the morning, they'll be available then. Let's sing page number
404.
404, if you have a hymnal, or the last page in that booklet there, When the Battle's Over.
All right, song number 404, When the Battle's Over.
Expect any protesters out there. The news media is saying that they're planning to organize tomorrow. So just kind of just don't give them the footage they're looking for. Let's just come on in. We do have security here tomorrow as well that can handle them. They are not allowed anywhere on the property. So if you see them anywhere, notify a security officer and we'll have them removed. But we hope to see you here in the morning. We'll be dismissed in word of prayer and ask God to bless us as we go our separate ways and bring us back here safely. For the time of your birthday, could you close us in prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the wonderful night we've had, for the great preaching that we heard. And dear Lord, I just pray that everybody will go home safe tonight and we'll come back tomorrow and just have another great time of fellowship. Pray that these messages will just spread throughout this country and the world and we'll be able to make a difference. And just these truths will be thundered from pulpits all over the United States. We'll